If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. 40 days ago, we celebrated the rising of our Lord from the tomb after his passion and death. 40 days he spent with his disciples, instructing them for the last time. The commentators tell us that this was a time of great joy for them. After having accomplished his mission, as if to celebrate his great triumph, our Lord finally rises to heaven, or ascends to heaven on this day. Our Lord spent this time with them to strengthen their faith and to leave them the last few instructions for the establishment and organization of the church. It is evident that his disciples were saddened at his leaving. St. Luke describes this to us in today's episode. Our Lord promised to send the Holy Spirit to them in a short while. He promised his apostles the establishment of his rule over all the earth. It is after this that he was raised up into heaven. Today's Gospel gives us more details. St. Mark reports that the disciples were still weak with unbelief. To us it seems that Jesus is harsh with them when he upbraids them for their wavering faith. On the contrary, St. Augustine tells us that this is to strengthen them. It will be by the preaching of the apostles after the coming of the Holy Spirit that Gentiles who have never ever seen our Lord will come to believe in him. This kind of faith can only be imparted to others by those who are convinced of their own faith. Now that this mission on earth is over, our Lord has to return to his Father in heaven to send them the Holy Spirit, who would convict them of all truth. We too are invited to rise to heaven with our Lord. These words at the opening of the sermon were taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The contrast is great between those who rise with Christ and set their affection on things above, and those who are turned towards things on the earth. Those who have risen with Christ are as though on a mountain. All is noise and tumult, mist and darkness at its foot, but on the mountain's top, it is so very still, so very calm and serene, so pure, so clear, so bright, so heavenly, that to their sensations it is as if the din of the earth did not sound, and shadows and gloom were nowhere to be found. The image of the mountain as a place to meet God, leaving the world and its preoccupations, occurs frequently in Holy Scripture, in both the Old and the New Testament. Now it is the duty of the disciple of Christ to be in the world, but not of the world. It is to live in heaven, while still living here on earth in one's thoughts, motives, aims, desires, likings, and prayers. It is to look like other men, to be busy like other men, even to be scorned or oppressed as others may be, but at the same time to have a secret channel of communication with the Most High. To be a disciple of Christ is to have a gift that no one would know about, a life hidden in Christ. The men of this world live in this world. They depend on it. They place their happiness in this world, and they look out for its honors or comforts. Their life is not hidden. Everyone they meet, they're supposed to be like-minded. They discredit the possibility of any other motives and views being important in a man except those of this world. They do not accept that man can be governed by religious motives, to live by them, and to have them as primary and ultimate laws of his conduct. For them, the only things that are important are wealth and honor. In accordance with these views, they easily describe as evil the doctrine of our Lord himself, rather than believe him to be what he said he was, the Son of the living God. This is what is at the heart of what the former Pope Benedict XVI called the dictatorship of relativism. Everyone creates his own version of reality and refuses to understand that of others. Eventually, they will want to impose their idea of things on others by force. You have heard of the saying, might makes right. When our Lord was accused of being a deceiver, of wanting to make himself king, of working miracles through Beelzebub, he was still the Son of God on earth, always united to God the Father through the beatific vision. He was the Son of Man who is in heaven in the presence of his Father, and he had needs to eat which others knew not of. If he will be our Lord, he should live similarly. He may be ridiculed for our religion. He may be despised. He may be punished. But our Lord has already told us not to expect any better treatment than that which he received. No one but our God needs to know of our religious history, of our turning back to God, of our growing in grace, of our successes. No one needs to know but God, God himself, and God alone, who is the cause of them. Dear faithful, our task is difficult, but our reward great. We have a good God who knows us intimately and loves us profoundly to privilege us with the means to save us from our sins. He will not fail to stir up in us the great gift God has given us if we have simply been good, amiable, well-behaved, considerate, and honorable. We each have been chosen to fulfill a task for the kingdom of God. Therein lies a salvation. It is time to rise up from the grave of Adam. It is time to rise with Christ. It is time to be more fervent in our devotions, to take seriously our divine exercises. It is time to give up jealousies, fretfulness, old worldly habits, frivolity, selfishness, effeminacy, high-mindedness, and self-conceit. It is time to do what is difficult to do, but which should not be left undone. Let us not hesitate to turn to Our Lady every day. She will show us how the yoke of our Lord is easy and his burden light. Now that our Lord has left to send us the Paraclete, let us turn to her, as did the apostles, and prepare our hearts for his coming. With Our Lady, our desires to be with our Lord will no longer be empty in his sight. O Mother of Divine Grace, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.